Hang on a second. When I get a prediction wrong, it is my fault, okay? This has happened consistently since we've been doing this ridiculous parlor game, okay? And it's consistently my fault. It is his fault. He got the prediction wrong. And not only did he get the prediction wrong, but he drags us over the coals when we get our predictions wrong by using all of his nonsense data, okay?
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 61 of Bad Voltage, which I'm sorry to say, the last show of 2019.
But it is, yeah.
My name is Jeremy. I have with me Jono and Ak, and while the last show of the year, I think a pretty entertaining show, why is that?
Well, I don't know. We're going to do predictions, aren't we?
Predictions.
Well, we're going to review predictions. Our actual predictions for the year of 2020 are not coming out until 2020. With the intention that hopefully I can get a prediction which happened in 2020 and has already happened by the time we do the show.
So a little foreshadowing into the hilarity that was Stuart Langridge's picks for 2019. Not sure he knew what he had a calendar posted on his wall and never removed it and made predictions from that year as opposed to 2019. But we'll get into that very shortly.
Tell you what it was.
If you're a longtime listener of the show and are used to us squabbling over predictions, you will not be disappointed.
Yes. We're not great at predictions, but you'll see how we get on. There are some interesting things, so go and check it out. So shall we do it right now?
Yes, so Jeremy.
And now, predictions from Bad Voltage.
A year ago, we looked into the crystal ball and predicted everything that we knew would happen in 2019. And regular listeners to the show will know that our track record on this is not stellar in the past.
It is not at all.
Let's see if this time, maybe we did a little better. So, should we start with Jono's predictions?
Yes, let's go through these. I mean, we might as well have a strong start.
Well, we shall see. But your first prediction, Mr. Bacon, was the following companies will IPO, right? Well, they'll announce an IPO. They don't actually have to have IPO'd this year. The companies you named were Uber, Peloton, Lyft, Slack, and Cloudflare.
Yes.
And I think, to be honest with you, you got all of those, right?
So the only thing he missed on was Uber being the largest IPO ever. It was nowhere even close.
But that was a bonus special extra prediction.
Slack and Cloudflare did all IPO. Yes.
Yeah, I'm prepared to give you the point for that.
Suspiciously close to a full point. I don't remember that being a bonus point. I think it was just part of your prediction. But given the rest of your predictions, I'm inclined to just give it to you.
Okay, so there you go. That's a 100% prediction, mate. Thank you for listening to our prediction show. We'll see you in the new year.
You can find out more about my predictions at jonobuffett.com.
Okay, this is the part.
I'm going to be honest with you, by the way. I'm kind of surprised that actually happened. That was a bit of a Hail Mary in terms of randomly picking them. So I'm glad that at least something went well. Should we move on to the next one, which didn't go well?
This is the bit where the engine falls off the wing of the plane at this point.
So kudos there.
All right, so what's next?
Netflix will start selling films and programs for one-off cost. So not part of your Netflix subscription. So you'll be able to just go and watch one film, pay one amount of money for it, and that's it. And
like Amazon Prime. That was the example that I was preempting.
Have they done that, Jono?
Couldn't be more wrong, actually. Well, it could be more wrong. They could start selling like their existing content. That would be the opposite. But no, they're not doing that at all.
Unfortunately, I don't agree with you there. I think you could be more wrong because have they launched a streaming gaming service for Prediction 3?
That's actually a very good point. They have not.
Although when Netflix, you made that prediction, did you imagine that a year later Google would have announced Stadia?
So,
Just out of curiosity. Obviously, no points here. Don't even try to shill.
I'm seeing you shilling from a bonus point here for saying I meant a gaming service and I just got the company wrong. I'm going to be honest with you.
When I was reviewing these last night, I was starting to make my case for the Stadia argument, and I thought they are not even going to come close to buying that.
Not even within range, dude.
In a similar way that nobody's coming close to buying Stadia, from what I can tell. No, my thinking behind this was, PlayStation had their streaming gaming thing. Microsoft, I think, had announced back then that they were doing something. So I thought Netflix are going to want to diversify into different markets, but no, they haven't done that.
No.
And in fact, Disney Plus is changing a lot of things, as we talked about in the last show.
I mean, I think there's a reasonable case to be made that they could do it on the grounds that they've already got the streaming infrastructure, everything in place, which sounds hard. And then presumably all you have to do is, rather than plug a VHS thing into the far end of that cable, you just plug a PlayStation 3, right? How hard could it be? But they have not.
I hope no one
it.
From Google Stadia is listening to this. Well, they're probably too busy looking for other jobs. I don't know why I'm trolling the Stadia people so much. I don't mean any of this. I am, of course, meaning it all in jest.
Almost kind of like that the Google Stadia service. People don't listen to anything, but you trumped me immediately on that one.
On the subject of people looking for other jobs, Jim Whitehurst will be announced as IBM CEO.
I like the way you're wiring all of these together.
Yeah, that was the other one. This is one that honestly I wished would have happened, and I still think will happen. I've said all along, I'll kind of gauge the success of that acquisition on whether he ends up CEO or not. I think 2019 was probably a little aggressive.
Yeah. But
2020, 2021 certainly.
I think this almost certainly happens. I think he may have accurately plotted the course of the future, but yeah. This year was probably a bit much to ask. IBM being a famously fast-moving and nimble company, jump on that kind of thing really, really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that was, frankly, a little bit ludicrous to kind of predict that. But, I also agree. I think he will at some point be CEO. I think everyone's kind of looking at him in IBM with a great degree of curiosity.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what is going to happen? Because he's such a talented guy. And we'll see what happens. So clearly wrong there. So that's one non so far.
Yeah. So Zuckerberg will no longer be Facebook CEO, for which no points. And Sheryl Sandberg will be CEO of Facebook, for which no points.
No points.
That's what we'll call a double no.
I am genuinely surprised by this because Facebook have been under an enormous amount of fire for lots of different reasons. Privacy, the Cambridge Analytica thing, all the rest of that.
Yep.
And I'm surprised that Zuckerberg, A, still has the appetite to do that, to stay in a CEO. You'd think that he'd be like, you know what? I'm going to take my massive bag of money and go and do something else and screw you all.
You're joking. I think the loathsome bastard is going to fight it out until the Allies arrive at the bunker. He's not leaving.
Well, I just think that, I think you're right in some ways because, this is where I don't understand some people like him, is for me personally, without turning this into a philosophical segment or segue, I enjoy what I do for a living, but I want to enjoy my life as well. And the work piece is one element of enjoying a life. And I'm surprised that he is, given the amount of grief that he's gotten, which is, I'm not saying it's not unwarranted grief. I'm surprised that he's enjoying this and if he's not enjoying it, sticking with it. And also Sheryl Sandberg, from what I can tell, is one of the most talented executives out there. So I'm surprised that he hasn't been pushed aside by the board. I'm surprised that he hasn't left himself. Yep. I'm just surprised.
I think his identity is pretty wrapped up in what Facebook is. I'm shocked that Sandberg is still there, which we'll get to in my prediction. I am shocked that she's not CEO.
Right.
Well, yeah. So if we're looking for reasons why Zuckerberg should leave in addition to all the justified grief he's got. Final prediction, Facebook Spaces will continue to be a thing nobody cares about, for which I think you might get 2 points for the amount of care that has been lavished on it.
The thing is, Facebook Spaces will continue is full stop wrong, because as part of the Horizon launch, the end of life spaces, and it shut down on October 25th. So not only will it not continue to be a thing no one cares about, it will just not continue to be a thing.
Listen, you tiny little pedant, okay? I didn't say Facebook Spaces will continue. I said it will continue to be a thing no one cares about, as in no one cared about it, and they will continue not to care about it. Facebook Spaces doesn't have to exist. It's got nothing to do with that. So, yeah, you're lucky.
If you thought it was going away, you would have said that in the prediction.
Look, don't take my minuscule amount of glory away.
I was going to say, you have one shining point, so... I believe that's higher than in years past, so that's good.
I have 2 points. I was right about Facebook Spaces. I was right about the IPOs. So I have 2 points.
No, that's fair.
The second one, the spirit of the prediction is not that it would not be a thing anymore.
Ooh.
The spirit of the prediction is that no one will care about Facebook Spaces. That's what I said.
They care about it enough to have meetings about it to kill it.
Oh.
I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm talking about the world.
He is
lawyering up for this one.
In our bald friend's defense, I think saying no one cares about Facebook Spaces is a bit iffy if your argument is Facebook cared about it. Yeah. But the rest of the world.
I'm just
didn't.
Saying the spirit of his prediction, I think if he thought it was going to just get axed, it would have very much been Facebook kills Facebook Spaces.
That's just an example of cowardice in predicting. It doesn't make his prediction wrong, I think.
My prediction, the spirit of my prediction was that the general world will not care about Facebook Spaces. Will continue not to care about
Hand on heart, I think since that prediction show, the first time the words Facebook Spaces have crossed my orbit in any way, reading news, hearing people talk about it, whatever, is right now in this show. It hasn't even been mentioned. It's like the deadest of dead products, even before it was killed.
Right. So, and this is, of course, the third great year of Facebook Spaces predictions.
No more Facebook Spaces predictions next year. So, I might
have Facebook Spaces will continue to be a thing nobody cares about for my next prediction. Because it's a solid one. So, yeah, I think I get that one. Don't take this away from me, Jeremy. Well, I need it.
What do you think, Eck?
I think we'll give him 2 points for that, right?
Wow.
If for no other reason than we probably need to... There's an externality going on here, right? We need to bolster the show as a whole a bit as being good predictors, right? If we all get zero and argue about who wins with half a point, then it's gratifying for us, but we look like a bunch of Muppets all together. So
our crystal ball is basically made of recycled Muppets. Not good.
And the tagline for the show is found. So,
all right.
Two points, moving on. Be an all-time high for you, Mr. Bacon.
I think it might be. Yeah, I think a point would be an all-time high for me.
I was going to say we're in the positives, which is a start.
It's a good start. All right. So,
moving on to Mr. Langridge.
How about I'll go through Mr. Langridge's predictions here. All right. So the first one was a CEO will be fired this year for a data breach.
I would like to jump in here for 1 second. While researching this very briefly, I found an article from CISO Magazine, so a magazine aimed at C-level security execs, titled "Data Breaches Often Result in CEO Firing," that was dated early 2016.
Yeah.
And in that article is a quote from Sony, which in February 12th of 2015, the Huffington Post reported that Amy Pascal, former CEO of Sony, openly admitted that she was fired as a direct result of the December 2014 data breach. So congratulations for predicting something that verifiably happened in 2014.
5 years previously, yes. What I was thinking was, I managed to dig up a bunch of examples of this happening, but they're all piddly shit, right? The point was that it would be something which made everyone stand up and take notice, and it certainly didn't any more than, Equifax, Experian, Sony, all lost CEOs after large data breaches in ways where you can at least point the finger and say you were fired because of that. And that all happened before this year, so certainly the spirit of the prediction was
My gut feeling here is that the spirit of the prediction was that it will be a relatively recent data breach.
I think you get
half a point for this because someone did get fired, but it
every
was,
year for the last it was, 7 years.
This is the thing. Like, it was supposed to change things a bit. I was hoping that people would start saying, wow, the CEO gets fired, more so than had happened with people like Equifax, which happened before this year. So, I mean, if you want to give me a half point, I'll take it, but I don't think I'm going to get it past Jezza. So,
I think half a point. I think the spirit of it is correct, but it's just, it's not as full as we would have expected. I'm not good at arguing this.
Do you agree,
Jeremy?
No. I will squabble not.
Well, we're going to have the same argument about the next one. So,
Jeremy, do you believe he should get no point?
I just don't know. Given that in 2014, a very high-profile CEO openly admitted that they were fired as a direct result of the data breach, I don't know what predicting that in 2019 means. But he's also going to get mercilessly bollocked for the next one, so I don't want to be too. I want to put too much on this one.
All right. We'll give him half a point. He's because I'm a real friend.
You are,
Mr. Langridge, as opposed to
he is a real half point friend. Jonathan, he's half point friend.
I'm good. That's going to be my tagline. Put that on LinkedIn. All right. So let's go on to number two. The second one was that the world will finally embrace USB-C. Now, before Jeremy jumps in and attacks you,
I want to jump in before even you get the chance, right? Because Jezza's argument, I'm prepared to bet a pound on it right now, will be they already had embraced USB-C, and this is a prediction that had already happened, and we had that argument a year ago.
I balked you then, and I'm prepared to do the same now.
Right, I'll just sit back and take it now. Two of you discuss amongst yourselves whether I deserve 2 points for this.
Let me dig in here and give you my rationale why I think, A, I'm a great friend, and B, you should get the point. Because I don't know who shit in Jeremy's cornflakes this today, but so this is the reason why. For me, it's entirely observational. I'm finding that like more and more computers are coming with USB-C. Like, I mean, obviously the Macs are a good example of this, where they just come with USB-C. But more importantly, Mac, I believe that Apple has made Macs this year, so. The real reason why I think this is the case is because the vast majority of devices, and I'm a bit of a gadget freak. I tend to buy, you know, silly devices here and there. The vast majority of them now come with USB-C. And they used to, because I think it was cheaper, come with mini USB, micro USB, and they come with USB-C.
I don't think there's been any tide shift whatsoever in 2019. I think all flagship phones in 2018 came with USB-C, all of them during 2019.
But it doesn't all less expensive say gadgets, flagship.
Like, I just bought a 3D camera, brand new, something that is pretty high-end-ish, micro USB.
Well,
so I think the things that didn't still don't. I don't think there was any meaningful change in percentage.
I disagree.
How is your Vizio camera?
I disagree with you entirely. I am
Ricoh,
now
which I didn't know still made products.
What, Ricoh?
Yeah,
they were bust. They make, like 10 years ago, didn't they?
No, I assure I you, they this made device in my hand was made by them.
I thought they made CD burning software.
I could say, yeah, Nero burning up. ROM. I feel like a year ago, because my phone is micro USB, right? And I never had a problem if I was somewhere else random charging it in a bar or at someone's house or whatever. And this year, I have very definitely found myself being in places and saying, have you got a cable? And they'll go, yeah. And I say, oh, no, that's a USB-C cable. I don't do USB-C. Right. And that has changed. It says the world for a reason. Yes, high-end phones and so on absolutely had adopted it before 2019. But that's for people like us. And if I show up at either of your houses and go, can I charge my phone? You're not going to go, I've only got one USB cable and here it is. You'll go, which of my 50 USB cables do you want to borrow?
Fair.
Right?
Yeah.
But normal people, like both my parents now have phones which charge off USB-C. Right, they didn't this time last year, and now they don't.
I still think it was a bizarre prediction. I'm willing to go half point as a concession with the caveat that your next predictions for 2020 can't include phonographs or telegrams or anything that's demonstrably already happened.
Okay.
We'll go half point.
I will concede, given that I gave two predictions which arguably had already happened and then expected to get points for them, I will attempt not to do the same.
No,
for next
you
year.
See, here's the thing.
But that gets you to one full point. So three points halfway in probably is the best we've done in a couple of years here.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as well as, look, I disagree with Jeremy on this one. I think Jeremy is overly critical of your predictions here. But given the fact that I think you should get the point, Jeremy doesn't think you should get the point, let's compromise at half a point.
Okay.
Right. So the next one is the first high profile deep fake video, which is not porn, politics or celebrity somehow, will happen and it will mislead people. Now, I don't think you got this. I haven't seen this happen.
I'm a little surprised you didn't, but in the research I did, I can't find it. But that begs the question, was it so good that we don't know?
Now, if I'd got no points up to this point, I was gearing up to make that argument to grovel for half a point. But since I've got a point so far already...
Wait, was your argument legitimately going to be, I'm sure there was one
but
hasn't
we
been
don't
found
know.
Out, I want a half point?
It was. That was literally going to be my argument.
I would not have
argument.
Been prepared to take that argument.
Yeah. I'm quite pleased, assuming that it hasn't happened and we don't know, which I don't think it has, but if for no other reason than I sound like the people who deny the moon landings when I say things like that. But 52% of people believe that there's a guardian angel watching over them. But
right,
this, as far as I'm aware, this hasn't happened, and I have looked for this. I went around and did, and there have been a couple of examples of people doing things and then people believing that they were real when they weren't, but they weren't intentionally created to deceive. It was more like the Orson Welles War of the Worlds thing, where people heard it on the radio and thought it was an alien invasion. But he wasn't trying to make people think there was an alien invasion, you know?
I think for me, this is the one I'm most surprised didn't happen.
Yeah. I suspect it's coming, especially since we've seen, without wishing to go all political about it, the rise of people telling outright lies to the press.
I have no idea what you
public.
Could be possibly referring to.
Right. But so far, and we've seen things which to me feel in a similar kind of class of thing to this, doing something deliberately with the intention of deceiving, but no one's actually done it as a deep fake video yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I was
going to
say, I think the key spirit of your prediction here was around the misleading element.
Yes, definitely.
And people believe in it, because you could argue that there are things like, for example, the Carrie Fisher thing in the Star Wars movie where, you know, she's not in it, but it's essentially kind of like a deep fake. Everyone knew that. So
that was on the same CGI page there. That was a different thing.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it was there was no misleading element to any
of
this.
No one has yet, as far as I'm aware, put out a video at a political opponent or about a celebrity with the intention that people would believe it was real when it was faked, as far as I'm aware.
And that's refreshing, because I think there was so much fear around this when we first talked about deepfakes. It's nice to know that hasn't happened yet. So it might happen in 2020.
Okay, but I mean, it is depressing that we now consider it good news that hasn't happened.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's good news. I'm just saying it's nice that it hasn't happened, in the same way that, school shooting this week in America.
I mean,
I'm not
having a pop at you in the slightest. It's just, this is how low our ceiling of ambition has had to get this year, that the fact that this hasn't happened is a positive. God.
No, I'm not saying it's a positive.
That is a little
disturbing. Let's move on.
Next thing.
So, next one, final
now,
prediction.
Now comes
so,
the argument, and this is my own fault for not making specific testable predictions, but...
So far, to recap, you have got one point, which
got
is comprised
point.
From two half points.
Yes.
So, the next one, the world will not care at all about foldable phones. Now, I did a little bit of digging into this, and I found that there are lots of manufacturers, Samsung, LG, Huawei, Motorola, many have not released yet. There are lots of manufacturers
talking a big game about it. As far as I'm aware, there are basically two available. The Samsung Galaxy Fold, which was available or was just about to be available when we made the predictions a year ago, and the Huawei Mate X, which is either just out or just about to be out. And
right.
That's it. There aren't the others on the market. I think that's the world not caring.
There Motorola are a few brought extras. The Razr back. I will say when I was
it's
in Japan...
It's not out yet. The Motorola Razr is a bunch of concept photos. Yeah, you can't buy it.
No, but next month I think it's for sale. I will say when I was in Japan, there were the Huawei Mate X and the Samsung Fold were everywhere. Billboards, giant store installation set up just with them.
Hang on, when you say everywhere, really? Do you mean them advertising everywhere? Do you mean people actually using them?
I mean, I wasn't checking people's phones, but I mean, I asked the guy at the one Samsung store, they had this giant Fold display set up where you could go use one and do whatever. And I said, how have these been selling? And he said, we can't keep them in stock right now. I can't even sell you one. Only the display. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe him. He's obviously biased, but I observationally, when you've been just wandering around the streets of Japan.
I mean, I noticed a couple on the subway and stuff, but I think it's...
But would you say... Many?
Nah,
would you say
I would say that violates the thing. If you're seeing people
I will say
use
having
them
held
in
one
public,
now, I am surprised how nice it was, and if it was not such a big phone, I would personally be interested.
Bloody traitor.
What?
But I know.
You are kidding me.
I'm mildly surprised at myself, I'm going to be honest. Holding it, they're good. Quite nice.
Dude, you're the worst.
Hang on. Why don't you like him, Langridge?
Why do you think I don't like a phone the size of an A4 piece of paper?
So that's why I'm curious what the Razr will be like, because it flips the other way and it's a much smaller designed phone. The Fold is just too large of a phone for me personally.
Yeah. The Razr is really good for banana photography enthusiasts. Anyway, so I think we'd probably all agree that...
I wouldn't take any pictures of a banana. It'll cost you $120,000.
The problem here is that a bizarre story.
We don't really, and there's no real sales data on this.
No.
So we have to
get to that in my last prediction.
Yeah, I mean, but there's no sales data because, well, as far as I was aware, they basically aren't out yet. I mean, as I say, there's a lot of people talking about them and they're bringing models out soon. But if you want to walk into a shop and buy one now, you've got the Fold and the Huawei one, and that's it. Now, I think
the LG one's also shipping.
I might be wrong, but I don't believe it is. I don't believe it was... at the back end of October, anyway.
No,
it
definitely wasn't. I think it was late November.
Right, okay, yeah. So it's been out for 11 days. Right, okay.
I think the spirit of this is that the phones will be out and people wouldn't care about them, so I'm not sure if you should get the point because they're not really out. I mean... Yeah, well, I don't want to be the heart. I don't want to turn to Jeremy, but I don't think you get a point in this.
No, I'm with you. I mean, Jeremy's admittedly anecdata, but nonetheless data, about seeing actual people on actual streets with them. I mean, if you just saw a few people on the street, then they've got to be out there selling. It's not like you saw the only four people in Japan who bought one or anything.
No, right.
Although these people you saw, you didn't see them like at the stand.
Listeners out there, if you have a Fold or any foldable phone... let us know in the forum. I'm curious, A, what you think of it, and B, what went into you purchasing it.
I wonder, are there more people currently in the world using flip phones than there are foldable phones?
Yeah, flip phones are coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
I see flip phones
just
all
lot
the time.
Of, a lot of old people are still using flip phones.
Yeah, well, when the Razr comes out, maybe I'll consider it. Because I like the Razr first time around. Apart from its ZX81 keyboard, it was cool.
I like the Razr.
So... maybe we should be generous and give him 1/10 of a point for this.
Okay.
All right, so you get one
and one,
and one tenth.
Tenth
of a point.
We're
and
now
one tenth
shilling
point.
Over tenths of points.
I get one and 10 basis points. Right. So.
All right, so Langridge, do you want to go through Jeremy's?
Yeah, I do. Any economists who just heard me misuse the phrase basis points egregiously, don't write to us.
I was going
to
say, I'm going to write in.
Jeremy's predictions. The US will pass at least one major nationwide piece of privacy legislation akin to the GDPR or similar. as far as I can tell, this flat out hasn't happened.
So no, I thought there would be some follow-up to the CCPA, and it turns out there was some follow-up to it. It was just major amendments to the CCPA, which
on,
for those of you who
aren't aware of what that is.
The California passed the Privacy Act that's somewhat similar in some ways to the GDPR. But in spite of both the House and the Senate holding hearings and privacy legislation coming up in there, increased, you know, call for transparency about how data is collected and how it's shared, and even stiffening actual penalties being doled out for data handling violations, the U.S. did, in fact, not make this happen. And oddly, the one sticking point seems to be whether or not the federal law would preempt the existing state laws. So it's the CCPA may have actually prevented it in a way, but no, did not happen. Yeah. Disappointingly, it did not happen.
No, I mean, would it be good? But you were pretty specific. I mean, the California thing is out there, but it doesn't seem to have sparked off any other state privacy laws either, does it? Or has it? And I've missed
a couple of minor discussions, but no, nothing like New York or Texas or any of the larger states have.
Yeah, so when they say we shouldn't have federal law because it'll preempt the state's laws, what they mean is the California one, which is already there.
Yes.
And no one else has done it anyway. It's just, I mean, it would have been nice to see.
I'm surprised that anything got done this year with a complete shit show as the political system in the U.S. right now.
So I think that is it's probably part of it.
I suspect
the less said about that, the better.
Utter partisan deadlock doesn't help with getting laws passed, but...
it doesn't.
But yeah, no points for that one, I think. Now, the next one. We may end up in an argument about this. The U.S. goes into a recession by someone's definition. So we talked about different definitions about the standard one is two consecutive quarters of decline, or the NBER have got one about a general decline in the, because I looked this up, general decline in the price of things and so on. As far as I can tell, there haven't been two consecutive quarters of decline in gross domestic product, and the NBER have not declared there to be a recession. But this is where Jezza goes,
I expect we will not get in an argument here. Despite an inverted yield curve, an ongoing trade war, massive global just nonsense, we are not in a anything that even resembles a recession. And to be honest, I am stunned. The interesting thing for me here is the odds of 1 in 2020 are actually going down.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know what to do with, given where we are in so many metrics and so many. Almost speechless, as you can tell.
I don't want to get into anything to do with politics.
That's the third time you've said that in the last 8 minutes, so I don't know if I believe you anymore.
Yeah. No, it's not, you lying shit. But as far as I'm aware, despite Trump's many problems. the economy is actually doing quite well right now, isn't it?
It's certainly the graphs I looked at to see whether there have been two consecutive quarters of declines show that GDP is going up every quarter.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of worrying trends. Like I said, the inverted yield curve, the whole thing that happened with repos last month. But the current job numbers look good. There's been a surprising driver of resilience, and the VIX is low. It's
the inverted yield curve stuff. Which, to be clear, I don't understand at all. But I read a couple of articles suggesting that when there is an inverted yield curve, wherever that is, I don't know if it comes down from space or something, that there's a recession after it.
Correct.
Always,
explain what that is, Jeremy.
Apart from one time in 1965, I think. So basically everyone's gone, when we get an inverted yield curve, then we get a recession immediately afterwards, apart from one time. Now we've got an inverted yield curve, therefore there'll be a recession. But I don't know whether this is... going to be, you know, in the future, people saying, so we always get a recession except for that time in 2019, or whether this is different or what, because I don't really understand what the curve is. So Jeremy,
explain what it is.
It's actually simpler than it. It's nothing space related. It's just long-term debt have lower yields than short-term debt. So it's usually the opposite of that. Usually long-term debt would always have higher yields because you're giving your money for a longer period of time, so you expect more return.
Right.
Short-term yields now are actually higher than long-term yields. So that's what an inverted yield curve is.
Okay. I don't know why a couple of the articles didn't explain that rather than show me a bunch of graphs about, you know, regression to the mean and what have you. I understood that explanation. Why aren't you an economist?
Excellent. But yeah, no, two resounding whiffs, I would say.
Well, so here's a chance to redeem yourself, and I'm not sure. So argument number three. Foldable phones will outsell true 5G phones, despite the latter getting much more hype. So, like I said, the
Huawei's out, the Samsung's out. Everyone's looking forward to the Razr. And by that, I mean you, me, and potentially you. The fact that they even brought back the Razr branding, I think, is interesting. But anyway,
hang on. So your argument is going
to
be...
So to be fair, I could not find anything that even remotely resembles actual sales numbers. But for 5G, yeah. T-Mobile just launched it, like right before
we were going to record. I was gonna say, 5G is
AT&T claims that they'll go live next week. And yeah. Verizon is up to around 18 cities, but availability in those cities is hilarious, down to the fact that when I was in the city, New York City, a little while ago, it's like if you're in Midtown, Fitty, and Hell's Kitchen, you get 5G. Anywhere else, no. So even in a city like New York, it's that spotty where they're going by neighborhoods. So I would say that even if you have a true 5G phone, of which there aren't many, your odds of that you're actually getting 5G are so low that there's more people rolling around with foldables than with 5G.
I anticipated a no true Scotsman argument here, and that's precisely what we've got. I'm certainly prepared to buy that there are more people with foldable phones than people who are using 5G on their 5G phones, but I don't know whether that means there's more people who've got a 5G phone, even if it only does 4G, unless they're touching the cell.
There's a reason why they don't have 5G, which is also surprising.
There's a very simple reason why Jeremy doesn't get the point. We don't have any sales data. We don't know. We're just guessing. So and he was very clear, outsells. Hang on.
I would have said that until we had the Japan discussion, because I thought this argument was going to be in between the 9 people who bought a foldable phone and the 11 people who bought a 5G phone, and therefore we wouldn't know. But if there's loads of people walking around with foldable phones
Hang on. Jeremy didn't say that. He said he saw a few people carrying foldable phones. He said he talked to a person who sells foldable phones, said that they're really popular.
Do you know
Jeremy, broad sweeping non-verifiable claims that happened in 2015, and you'll get
Hang on a second. If I was making the argument that one thing will outsell the other and there was no sales data, Jeremy would be murdering me with facts right now.
He would be apoplectic.
This is what happens, right? I'm now going to take a shit in your cornflakes, okay? Sugar puffs. But...
I cannot definitively say I would be shocked if foldable phones did not.
It's outside. Not only that you cannot definitively say it, you can't even get fucking close to saying it. Well, and saying I went to Japan and saw a few people holding a foldable phone.
Well, serious question. Now, I appreciate unless you're a Cyberman, you can't actually look at a phone and know whether it does 5G or not. But do you even know anyone with a 5G phone?
No.
Because if I had a 5G phone, I'd spend all day and all night bitching about the fact that I didn't actually have 5G coverage for it.
Hang on. Does the Pixel 4 do 5G?
It does not.
Then no.
No.
Because the alarm bought a Pixel 4.
I'm trying to think if there's a pop... Because it's like the Huawei X, which is also foldable, I think was the first 5G phone as well. Does the OnePlus 7 do 5G?
I don't believe so. But we'll have to check.
I think Jeremy just typed in help into Google and it's open.
I'm losing.
I mean, this seems like it's at least worth a half given the things we're throwing out hats for, but...
No, it's not even... No, there's no... To Japan and seeing a few people wandering around with a foldable phone does not count.
We've not seen anyone walking around at all with a 5G phone. We don't even know anyone. This is not seen them with your own eyes.
But that's my point. My point is you can't say... Jono, your point doesn't count because you don't know anyone with 5G phones. The point I'm making is that we don't know any of this stuff. Therefore, no point.
Whereas, the thing I'm suggesting for half a point, I could maybe be bargained down to a quarter here,
we might have to go to a quarter of a point.
Is that, right? I appreciate there's no actual sales data, so we're relying on anecdotes here. We have anecdotes about foldable phones. We have no anecdotes at all about 5G, which suggests there are more foldable phones than 5G phones.
I'm a little surprised one of us doesn't know someone with a 5G phone, to be honest.
When is it going to come up in conversation? Point. Someone's going to go and buy. I honestly couldn't tell you if my phone did 5G. I just don't care. What I care is that the phone connects to the phone network. How that does it, it could be 19G for all I care. If it doesn't, if it starts downloading sausages, I'm going to have a problem with it. But the fact that it, I don't particularly care. Now,
well,
what I do know,
I hope you enjoy your GPRS data connection then.
What I do know is that Verizon have launched their 5G network in the US, and they have a lot of people who use it. So if they've and almost certainly they've sold people phones via their, because what they do is they say, you know, buy two phones when you sign up, and you, well, buy one phone, you'll get a free phone when you sign up to Verizon. So the fact that they've got 5G out there, they've probably sold a shitload of 5G phones, as opposed to Jeremy's three people walking around Tokyo with foldable phones. And our reliable source of data, the dude in the Samsung store.
Well,
so no,
I mean,
point for you.
That is actually quite a good argument, but I find it slightly suspect you are simultaneously arguing that he loses because there are no foldable phones and there are no 5G phones, and also there are loads of 5G phones more than foldable.
No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is we don't have any data. That's the reason why we can't say this. What I do know is that Jeremy's "I saw a few people with a foldable phone in Tokyo" is less credible than Verizon launching a 5G network in the US.
I will concede it's not my finest argument.
Their consistent strategy with Verizon is we give people phones to get them to sign up. And you know what you need to connect to a 5G network? A fucking 5G phone. That's what you need.
No, you don't. Also, Verizon, T-Mobile, and was it Sprint or AT&T just got sued by the FCC for making up their map. So
yeah.
I'm not too inclined to believe that.
Well, the thing is, it might be 4G++. So, anyway,
this is like, do you remember what were they called? HD compatible televisions. Rather than when HD first came out, and you're supposed to get an HD ready telly, but they were really expensive. So people started selling HD compatible, which means we downsample it to 720p or whatever.
yeah, kind of like Google Stadia.
My point, Glory, here.
I don't know.
I'm inclined to give him a quarter of a point because, having looked ahead, it's not going to make any difference.
No, it's not.
And it encourages people to make more testable predictions. Now, this one, in Jeremy's defence, is not his fault. I assume there'd be sales data. The reason we don't have any sales data is there haven't been any frigging sales. But
hang on a second. When I get a prediction wrong, it is my fault, okay? This has happened consistently since we've been doing this ridiculous parlor game, okay? And it's consistently my fault. It is his fault. He got the prediction wrong. And not only did he get the prediction wrong, but he drags us over the coals when we get our predictions wrong by using all of his nonsense data, okay?
So if you'd have thought to say, last time I was in Tokyo, I saw a bloke playing a streaming game on Netflix, maybe you'd have got a quarter of a point for it.
Yeah, I saw it inside of the Netflix office. All right.
Zuckerberg is no longer Facebook CEO on Sundays, so I get the point. No, didn't think of it.
Now, you see, I would make that kind of argument, and that would be a reasonable discussion to have by reasonable people. But no, Jeremy's getting a taste of his own medicine.
Now that I'm looking at our predictions, why did you make 6 and I made 4? Of course you're going to get the... You made 50% more predictions.
Hey, you did. I hadn't thought of that. You made more predictions than us. That's not very fair. So
yeah,
I reckon... Should we penalise him 1 point for that?
No. You don't get to do that. Because you could have done this when we set the predictions. This is the record of what we talked about. Okay, let's go into Jeremy's final prediction and we can argue about the results.
Spoken like a man worried about losing the argument. Final prediction. Sheryl Sandberg steps down from Facebook to become the CEO of Disney. Did this happen, Jeremy?
It absolutely unequivocally did not happen.
He talked to somebody
in a lift
at the pub.
So what's surprising about this is given how she projects her brand as a person and the general perception, I think, of where Facebook is, I'm honestly shocked that she didn't step down. I think it would have been great. The Disney would have been a good landing spot. I think they're hungry for someone tech heavy, so it would have been a good fit. I don't even have a retort here. Just no.
No.
I'm surprised also that she's still at Facebook, but Disney was a reach.
I wonder, because the discussion we had last time was a lot about her personal brand and how she was looking to move forward and all that kind of thing. But I wonder whether it's just a little bit early. She spent another year. What's it called? Is it a building year when you spend a bunch of time getting in new players and training them and what have you and don't really intend to win anything?
Rebuilding,
yeah. So I wonder if she's... I wonder if she said, I don't want to push this year. This is going to be another year of continuing to build my personal brand and what have you. And then next year is going to be. This is all to say, if you wanted to put that prediction in again next year, think you'd be in with a chance.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's been at Facebook for, like, 12 years.
Yeah,
but had you heard of her 4 years ago? I hadn't. Maybe. Oh, you had. Okay, never mind.
Well, I think I'd maybe, but that's not the prediction. If the prediction was, will Jono have heard of Sheryl Sandberg?
Right.
Which so, you might want to consider.
Will Jono have heard of Sheryl Sandberg then, 4 years ago? It sounds like a Stewart prediction.
It does sound like a Stewart prediction.
Summing up, then, Jeremy has somewhere some indeterminate quantum amount in between 0 and 0.25 points.
Yeah, nah, right? Not a stellar showing.
Jono, having lost a point for making too many predictions, has won, and I have 1/10. So I win.
Hang on. Come on. You can't just... You cannot just take a point away from me. No, that doesn't fly, because when we set the predictions, right, I picked those predictions. You could have made that point last time, okay? I took on more risk. I took on a lot more risk.
Not how that works, since you don't lose points for getting them wrong. If you make more predictions, more chances to get points.
No, you see what? No, you don't lose. But you know what, Jeremy? Here's the thing. You're only looking at this typically from an economic perspective. It's not just about the dollar, the mad dollar, the dead presidents. It's about reputation.
Shut up.
It's about relationships.
Risk.
Jonathan Edward James Bacon 2020, is this where we're going with this?
If bad voltage predictions getting them wrong led to reputational risk, all three of us are working McDonald's now, right? We wouldn't be allowed anywhere near the tech community at all. They'd say,
no, you people
can't touch a computer ever again.
I, for one, welcome my Hamburglar overlord.
That is, frankly, an absolutely awful thing to say about people who work at McDonald's.
Win to Stewart with 1.1 points.
No, he doesn't win. I don't get a point taken away. No, I win 2 points, okay? You can't... Look, when we do these predictions, you two elitists always give me grief with how bad I am at predictions.
I think the person who lives in California just called us coastal elitists.
I know. I don't even live on the coast.
I didn't call you a coastal elitist. I called you an elitist, which includes the coast. Okay. My point is this. I've had 3 years of Facebook Spaces predictions. Okay. I've put my neck on the line for this game. Okay. I get my 2 points. I win. That's the way it is. Okay. Don't take this away from me. I don't get many victories, and they're all petty.
Okay. I suppose we have to declare it a fatal blow for the show's credibility that the best predictor on it is Jono. So,
or because clearly I'm out of this with my 1/4 point. Do we allow the bad voltage community to decide via a poll?
No, because the last time we did this, it didn't go very well.
Does Jono's 2 points making two extra predictions count as a win?
Honestly,
or does the 1/10 of a point conceded to Langridge push him over the edge?
While I would like to win, I have learned my lesson about calling for referenda on such things, and I don't want to do it again.
So what we'll do is we'll have a referendum, and then we'll bicker about the results for the next 4 years.
Okay? Right? I no longer care what the public think. I'm going to have Jono win.
Oh, that is actually spoken like an elitist.
You had your chance. You're screwing it up. All right. There we go. That is our predictions. So,
New predictions in the new year. We should say that recording this, we're coming up to Christmas. The next show will come out in theory on Christmas Day or something. So we're not doing the next show, to be clear, because we've all got families and what have you. So we're skipping a show, and then we'll be back in the new year with with our predictions for 2020.
Ooh. Now, can I make a few requests for when we make the predictions the next time round? One,
sure.
We all make the same number.
We all it's make the same number.
Point. Good starting point.
Two, okay. Two, no Facebook spaces.
Facebook spaces predictions. Okay. Three, no predictions that are about sales data, because this happens every time. We always have a row about sales data that it's not available. Okay. No sales data predictions, which is going to screw Jeremy because his predictions are always maybe. Based on sales data.
We'll go maybe on that.
The reason we do it is because of my rule that predictions are meant to be testable. The idea is right. that we don't just argue about whether it happened. We have hard data on it.
No, but we always do that.
We
always argue about it. Yeah. In fact, this show, good example of that.
Maybe this is the point where I just give up and go, fine, just go, this will become more popular, and then just spend half an hour justifying it a year from now.
I'm just going to start a hashtag. All right, so we will be back. So thank you for listening to our predictions. Go and let us know what you think on the forum about all of them, which ones you agree with, which ones you disagree with. I'd also love to see, in preparation for us setting our predictions, what are your predictions
for
2020? So go and share them, and because we may steal some of them, because you people are, frankly, much smarter than we are. Well, that's it. We have a show.
We do.
Not just a show, but it's the end of the year show. So whatever, if you folks who are listening to this, if you listen to all of that, then first of all, you might want to go and explore other podcasts, because if you listen to that intentionally in your spare time, then you might have better things to do. But thank you for listening, not just to this show, but thank you for listening for the year. And for some of you, thank you for listening for the whole year, or longer than a year, rather. We really appreciate the fact that a lot of people check out Bad Voltage and we have done for a number of years. Speaking of celebrations, Jeremy, didn't you want to share something about Craigslist?
Yeah, so we were chatting about things that, you know, maybe surprised us over the year, just things that happened. And one, I don't know if everyone still uses Craigslist around, but founded 24 full years ago, they launched their first official app just a couple weeks ago.
Is it for the Nokia N900?
Yes, it is. And the original only Motorola Razr.
I am actually honestly faintly disappointed in this. Because, I mean, yeah, I've been saying for years.
You like their web 1.0 UX?
The web's good. Well, the point is they haven't changed the UX in the app. The app, as far as I can tell, is exactly the same as the website is. It's still just, you know, Times New Roman on a background kind of vibe. Right? It's not like they went, let's get proper designers in or anything. And that's fine. If what you want to do is, well, bear in mind that Craigslist, to a first approximation, doesn't exist in the UK. Nobody uses it, right? There are some people who occasionally, but
do you have a single Craigslist replacement company, or it's just a bunch of different random?
There isn't anything really like it at all. So my experience of Craigslist is seeing people advertise for other cannibals or whatever, stuff that shows up where someone's taking a picture on Twitter. So I'm assuming people just sell mattresses and stuff on it, right? Or find dog walkers or whatever. But my experience of it is all the weird stuff.
I honestly haven't thought about Craigslist in forever. Like, do people really use it anymore?
They must.
Do we have any sales data on this?
I thought people check it out. I thought people in the US used it all the time.
No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm not going to download their app and check it out. Like, I tend to think of Craigslist as kind of like eBay, but where the people who buy your things are serial killers. I'm always very suspicious of using Craigslist. Like, Eric is like, let's sell something on Craigslist. Like, no, that's not. Let's either burn it or sell it on eBay.
Between that comment and your listen to other podcasts, you really, really should be in marketing.
Was the television thing Craigslist? There was a thing, two or three years ago, right, where someone put an advert somewhere online, and I think maybe it was Craigslist. It's in the UK, so some people do obviously use it. Put an advert saying they had two televisions which they were going to give away to the first caller. You know, he's like, we've got these two tellies, we're moving out, we need to get rid of them. And then, presumably by accident, put my phone number in instead of theirs. And I
yours?
Thought,
like yeah, your specific
my
phone
actual
number.
So they put in, you know, presumably they just typoed their own number or something.
Yeah, like a digit, right?
And my phone turned into NORAD. I've never seen anything like it. I got like a million phone calls. And then I had to turn my phone off. Because at first, I start getting messages saying, hey, do you want the tellies? And I'm like, what the hell is this? What? an hour or so later, I'd had, I think, 300 messages or something. And I'm sitting there going, what's going on?
That, you know what that reminds That's me hilarious. Of? Do you remember, like, 2015 or whatever it was, when the BQ Ubuntu phone came out?
And we sat in the pub. Yes.
Yeah. So the BQ Ubuntu phone came out and they had a
launch event,
like a release party in London. And we all got a phone. I'd just left Canonical at this time. We all got a phone.
Yep.
And it came with like a £10 SIM card. And I put the phone number on the internet and asked people to text it.
Yeah.
And we sat in the pub. It was hilarious.
It was brilliant. It was a brilliant evening.
And that phone.
We sitting there with our phones. Phone,
So on a related note, the new Craigslist app available for that phone.
Well, my BQ E4.5 is currently in Ireland as my mum and dad's spare phone when they go out there. Still perfectly fine for making phone calls and sending texts, which is all they want it for.
I didn't know it ever made phone calls.
Yeah, it did right away. It's not a purism phone. It was a real proper phone. So,
boom. Wow. You don't want to annoy that crowd. Did you see there recently the Ubuntu? Because the Ubuntu Touch project is still like there's a lot of development.
Yeah,
going into,
UB Ports. They're doing a bunch of stuff. Marius Scripps Garden, Dalton, and that crowd. Yeah. They're going great guns.
Yeah, it actually looks really cool. They did. What was that update that they published last week or this week? Or
Ubuntu Pro.
We're not getting into that.
Not Ubuntu Pro. Something entirely different.
That look on your face was the only time I ever wished this was a video podcast.
I'm sure Ubuntu Pro is great for the sort of people who want that sort of thing, which is not me. So, UB Ports people are doing cool stuff. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, kudos to them. I wish I could remember what it was, but Popey posted retweeted, I think it was a video of something, and it was like I can't remember what it was, but they're just basically doing some really interesting work over there. I actually would love to see one of the like Ubuntu Touch devices in the flesh now to see how much it's changed, because it has changed quite a bit from what I can tell.
I've not seen one in so long, I can't remember.
I have one in my drawer at the moment.
But and I'm assuming you can run it on there, right?
Yep.
Like the recent builds.
Well, so. I believe that they I'm not sure they support the original one, the E4.5 anymore.
Right.
But I think they support newer devices. I'd have to check exactly.
I've got the Meizu in a drawer around it. I've got the Ubuntu Edge in a drawer around here somewhere.
You don't have an Ubuntu Edge. You have a plastic model of an Ubuntu Edge.
Yeah. That's as close to an Ubuntu Edge as you're going to get.
Well, the reason I know this is because the plastic model cost like £100 and the first Ubuntu Edge cost $32 million, which is why there isn't one. But yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe sell your Ubuntu phone on Craigslist, if you want to.
There you go.
No, I'm not going to do that. No. I'm going to have Sladen show up to play. That's a very obscure reference
for
a lot of people listening to
this.
There'll
be a few people listening who will chuckle at that, right?
Yeah, Sladen is a character in the open source Linux community in the UK for many years, would ride around on a foldable bike and... I haven't seen him in years. Always loved hanging out with him. But I hear he's happy. He came up in conversation the other day with Matthew Garrett, actually. So
I haven't seen him in a long time, actually. Yeah. Although I did see a picture of him quite recently. Looking at old pictures of Ubuntu events and stuff like that. And there was Sladen digging around in a record bin, in a record shop. Anyway, right.
Anyway. Enough about this.
Old home.
So, thank you, everybody.
That was Bad Voltage. That was 2019. Glad to see the back of it, to be honest.
Have a great holiday, great new year, and we will see you on the other side.